1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 18. And we'll see kind of how this, how we get unction to go into this. I have more in my heart than I've got in my notes. So that's whenever it gets good, because you got to do it by faith, you know.
Yeah, amen.
There's been, anyway, I could talk about services where I felt nothing and felt like it was a dud and felt like telling them, don't even put that out on the internet. And at the back door, person after person after person after person after person came up and said, man, that helped me so much.
Amen.
I went home and I said, what was that, Lord? He said, because you didn't feel anything, you did what I told you to do by faith, and I honored your faith.
Yes.
I said, well, can I have some services to where it's where I can feel something too, you know? So anyway, 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 18. You know this verse. Such a powerful truth in this verse. I got to turn to it myself here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 18. And let's read it together. You ready?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 12, 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. As it has pleased who?
Him.
As it has pleased them?
No,
as it has pleased him. He set us in the body as it pleased him. Every member. Are there any members here? I'm not talking about members of Spirit of Faith Family Church. I'm talking about members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Members of the body of Christ. He set us in the body as it pleased him. And notice this was not our doing, it was his doing. He set us in the body. So there's a place in the body that God has in mind for every one of his people, right? Isn't that good that God thought of you whenever he brought up the body of Christ, raised us with Christ? He thought of you and he had a place in mind for you, has a place in mind for me. And that place is a powerful, powerful place. If you look in 1 Kings chapter number 17, and I won't go there if you want to just write it down or if you want to go there. But 1 Kings 17 verse number 9. The Lord said that God had been ministering and supplying Elijah's needs by the brook Cherith. You remember, he gave a prophecy that the king didn't like because the king was wicked and he had a wicked wife. And so they both didn't like it and they came after him. So he was hiding down by the brook Cherith and he was being supplied there. God was ministering to him. Of course, he's drinking water out of the brook, but then he's got ravens. He's got, you know, Grubhub and all of that is... So you know, nothing new to God. And if they start bringing food into your house, you know, Grubhub starts using drones. Hey, God's been doing that for a long time, because he had ravens picking food, I believe, off of Ahab's grill, right as the meat was done, and the chef turned around to get the plate, to put it on the plate, and the ravens came down and took it over to Elijah's. To Elijah's hideout, you know. And so he had food flown in for morning and evening for Elijah. And he ate everything he needed. He had everything he needed. And then after that brook began to dry up, the Bible says that God spoke to Elijah and said, go over to Zarephath. Arise, go over to Zarephath, for I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Yes.
Notice that I've commanded a widow woman there. And years ago, I heard a sermon preached called A Place Called There. And I'll never forget that sermon all the days of my life, because there's always a place for every one of his people, a place called there.
Yeah.
A place where God has everything you need supplied. And sometimes we don't think about it enough. In fact, the Lord said to me recently, I was praying for someone who was going through some tremendous physical attacks in their body and had been going through them for a sustained period of time. And I was praying for him and asking God, I said, Lord, what is it? What's going on here? And he began to talk to me about their place that they fit in the body, where that he had planned for them to fit. And there's what they were. When we talk about a place, we're talking about a place. There's a lot of definitions of the term place.
Yeah.
How many of you know, how many just the place in Christ that we have in Christ is the place called there?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that place is a hidden place. It's a provided for place. It's a place where we're raised with him and seated with him, right? And so you could look at this term, this truth about place. You could look at it just as simply the in Christ truths. Or you could look at it like this. There's literally a place of obedience to his plan for our lives that is a place called there, right? Sometimes that's not necessarily just a geographical place, although it can be a geographical place. But it's not just a geographical place. It's a place of obedience,
yes.
Right? It's a place of being where you're supposed to be spiritually.
Yes.
Have you ever been letting, have you ever let natural things and natural distractions sort of get you too busy, and you're not fellowshipping with God like you know you should, and you just know in your spirit, I'm not in the place with God that I should be. That doesn't mean you're backslid. It doesn't mean that you're out in rampant sin of some kind. But it just means you know that there's better fellowship for you and more clarity when it comes to answers.
Yeah.
And so that could be part of what this means whenever we talk about place. It could be just connected right to divine connections in the body. And that's what it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12:18, when it talks about he set us in the body as it pleased him. There's a place for every one of his people in the body, where they fit, where they connect. Right? And so anyway, I was talking about this person I was praying for, and as I was praying for them, the Lord began to talk to me, and he said, the issue here of this prolonged ongoing thing in their bodies is because they're not in their place. How many of you know, if we are in our place, there's a lot of things that the door is closed to the enemy. Yeah, and so it's important that we recognize that. And as I was praying for this person and talking to God about him, because I'm not against them. How many of you know we're for them? We want to see them thrive. And so we're praying for them. And I remember after the Lord spent some time talking to me about it, he said, and also he said this to me. He said, many of my people don't consider, this is not important enough to most of my people, he said. Most of my people don't think that much about the importance of being in their place. How many of you know it can be life and death that you're in your place? And that sounds like some people hear that and they hear it wrong. They hear it like a threat. That's not the point. The point is where our place is where needs are met. How many of you know where Elijah, where God said, go over to Zarephath, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There was where the supply was that he needed to continue doing what God told him to do. So for the body of Christ, every one of us, there's a place called there. It could be just simply the place of faith in what is your rights. It could just simply be rising up in the revelation of who you are in Christ, rather than sinking down into what you see and what you feel and talking about that. How many of you know the natural realm is Satan's realm, and that's a place of defeat?
Yeah.
You have to know that. That's a place of defeat. But up in the revelation of who you are in Christ, that's the place of victory every single time. Every single time. So stay in your rightful place. Stay in the revelation of who you are in Christ, right? And that place is a place far above what Satan tries to do in your life, all right? So we need to understand this, and the Lord was talking to me about this, and he's been talking to me about fighting to stay in your place. Now, you don't have to fight to get into it, but you have to resist all the bombardment of thoughts against your mind about your place. So we're going to talk about this today because God really put it in my heart. And another way you could say it is a spirit of faith about your place. You got to have a spirit of faith because there's going to be attacks to get you out of your place. You know, when we say place now, you could look at it many different ways. You could just simply say the place of who you are in Christ, right? The revelation of who you are in Christ. And or you could talk about the geographical place that God has you. Praise God. That's a, you know, for me, it was Iowa. And I was living in another state, and God said to me, I spoke to us about Iowa and coming here. And remember, I had said, this is a God-forsaken place.
Yes, he did.
What was I saying? Geographically, I came here in the wintertime, and I saw, and I was driving back to the Des Moines airport, and there was nothing but white flats, snowy fields, and then the clouds had come all the way down to sit upon those fields, and I couldn't quite tell where the field ended and where the sky started. And I'm like, everywhere's gray, everywhere's, you know, cloudy and gray and bland and boring and... And I said something out of my mouth I should have never said. This is a God-forsaken place. It's not.
It's not.
Because we've been here for, 23 years, and it's been a glorious ride. Praise God. Well, but see, here's the thing. Your place is not where you like the weather. How many of you know God doesn't say, your place is here because it's sunny, you know, 98% of the time. And, you know, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the weather. It doesn't have anything to do with where your family is. Right? It doesn't have anything to do with natural things. Is what is God saying to your heart about your place? Where do you fit? Where do you belong? And so that was for us, that was here. And for many of you, that's here. So, and then there's divine connections, and God spoke to us about those divine connections. And we connected up, and we've been connected with the DeFrains Ministry now for all these years. And this place of connection has been amazing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so the blessings of God, what we got to understand is a lot of times the blessings of God in our life, God uses other people to bring us into those things.
Yes. Yes,
amen. Yes. God never called any of us to be lone rangers in the body of Christ.
No.
Or Tontos either. Right? Never, never. We've got to understand that when we came into Christ, we didn't just come into Christ. We came, remember Hebrews 12 verses, what is it, 8 and 9, 10 down through there? You know, earlier verses he had said, you didn't come to the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, referring to what God brought, the mountain that God brought Israel to in the Old Testament in the desert. But you are come to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Have you come to that? Somebody said, no, I'm not in heaven yet. But no, no, he said, you are come. He didn't say you're gonna. He said, you are come.
Amen.
He's talking about in redemption, through redemption, he brought you to these things.
Yes.
You're not living in heaven. That's not your address right now, but that is your citizenship.
Yes.
Your citizenship is from above. And you have free access to go there.
Amen.
To come boldly to the throne of grace. Anyway, you are come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to heavenly Mount Zion and so forth. And then he said this to an innumerable company of angels. And then he said this to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. That's the body of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And you are come to the body of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
You didn't just come into Christ. You came into fellowship with a bunch of wonderful people in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That's your place.
Amen.
Your place is not out in the world. Your place is God's people.
Amen.
God's people are your fellowship.
That's right.
God's people are your fellowship. Those that are hungry for God.
Amen.
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 That's my people.
Amen.
Amen. Or if you're under 20, that's my peeps. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You should not have better relationships with people in the world than you do in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You didn't come to, you know, what fellowship had Christ with Belial and unrighteousness with righteousness? You remember that? Your fellowship is the people of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you are come. Say, I have come.
I have come.
And so you've come to a place in the body where you fit, you belong. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, Luke chapter number 22, we'll go over there, a verse that you're familiar with. This is when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and he was talking to his disciples, and he said this to Peter after he had said some things to all the disciples. He said in verse number 31 of Luke chapter number 22, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Well, how many of you know, you just keep on reading and you'll find out that they were, you know, they put Jesus on trial. They arrested him and put him on trial. And Peter sort of standing off to the side, and somebody asked him, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And he said, no, and he denied him. And three times that happened, and Peter did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. And Satan was trying to sift him, not only sift him from his divine connection with Jesus, but sift him from the plan that God had for his life. Because how many of you know, Peter was the one who God used the most at the beginning of the church age. He's trying to get him to do a Judas and just totally lose out with God and the plan of God and all of that. Satan is trying to sift him. Sift him, he said, like wheat. So what do we know? He's trying to sift him from his place, right? I said, right? And so that place is a place God had planned for him from the foundation of the world, that he be in, that he be with Jesus, that he fellowship with Jesus, that he get those impartations, that he watch the miracles, that he see exactly how Jesus functioned, hear all the teaching. And then when Jesus was going to go on to the right hand of the Father, of course, die and then raise from the dead, go to the Father, he was going to be the leader of carrying through into the church age what Jesus started.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus only got this thing started.
Yeah.
We're carrying it on. Amen. Peter was to be, he had God's place. God had a place in mind for Peter. And Satan came for him to try to sift him from that place. Well, if you'll help me some more, I'll get some unction here. And so when we talk about our place, we're talking about our place where there's a divine supply to us, but we're also talking about the place we function to bring the divine supply to the body of Christ that God intends for us to bring to the body of Christ. So this place is a twofold place. There's a place where everything we need freely flows to us. And that's what Ephesians 4:16 talks about. Every joint supplies. Where we're joined and where we're connected, there's a supply to us there to receive everything we need in this life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to get that revelation. Faith was never intended to undo the effects of being out of your place. Did you get that? I said it was never intended to undo the effects of getting out of your place.
Right.
Faith, use your faith to get in your place and stay there.
Yes.
And not be sifted like as wheat, you know.
Yes, sir.
Amen. People sometimes they're believing God for this and this, these things outwardly that Satan's doing or trying to do. And sometimes you got to ascertain these things in your heart. I'm not saying every time, but sometimes it's because all this stuff out here is getting in because we're not in our place. We're not divinely connected right. And guess what? It's not our mind that lets us know where our divine connection is. It's our spirit that lets us know where our because we're led of the Spirit of God. But let me say this, you're going to have to fight for your place. Because there's things going to come to try to get you out of your place. Just like it came to Peter to try to sift him. Now, let me explain. There's more than one way we could go with this. But notice this term sift. You know, and he says sift as wheat. Now, there's a couple of ways you could understand this. Whenever they would harvest their wheat grain, they would, you know, they've got to get the chaff separated from the wheat. They didn't have all the modern technology we have. So they just had stuff that they would do to put it on, because they would get all the long stalks off of it, but then they would sift it and shake it around to try to get all the chaff to blow away, and then throw it up in the air and then catch it again or something like that. And that's called sifting.
Yeah.
And so you mash it, not hard, but just roll it around, then you throw it up in the air, and the wind blows the chaff away, and the wheat comes back down. And it's called sifting. And if you have ever seen, how many have ever watched the archaeological program where they're looking for artifacts? Yeah. Maybe here in the United States, maybe over in Israel or something, they're looking for old ancient artifacts, and they'll dig out some dirt, and then they'll bring up the dirt into this wire mesh, pour it in the wire mesh, and there's either a machine or a person shaking that wire mesh, and all the little stuff, little particles of dirt and whatever, rocks and everything, it'll fall through, and the bigger things, they stay up there, and then they'll just sort of sort through the bigger things and see, you know, throw away the rocks and all that stuff, the bigger rock, and then they're looking for little pieces of pottery or little coins or something like that, right? And but they've got to, in order to get that, to, you know, get it all diminished down to just what they're looking for, they have to shake it. Shake it. And that's what sifting is. Here's one of the strategies of the enemy. A lot of shaking around you to try to get you unstable. I've seen this over and over again. It's a strategy of the enemy to move and shake things, shake people around them, shake circumstances around them, try to stir up people to leave their life, stir up people to cause trouble. Things like traumatic situations, traumatic diseases, things like divorce, things like. You think of other things like, what do you call it? Bankruptcy or things like that, where there's just a lot of upheaval. Yes. Can I tell you something? The upheaval in the movement all around you is not God talking to you. God doesn't talk to you through the movement. He talks to you on the inside. And when all of this is shaking, you need something to lay hold of that is not moving. Yes. And there's only one thing in that situation that's not moving, and that is, what did God say to me? And he's not talking to me through the shaking. He's talking to me through what he said to me in his word and my fellowship in his presence. Are you getting a hold of this? So Satan tries to move things around your life, circumstances, people, and he'll bring testings and trials to try to, what's he trying to do? He's trying to shake you. He's trying to get the shaking out here on the inside of you. He's trying to shake your faith. He's trying to shake you free from your faith. You getting a hold of this? And all that movement, his point is to get you to make a decision to change something and to go against something God said to you or a place God put you. Amen. And so that movement around you, and sometimes other people will move. Amen. But that is not God talking to you. Praise God. Now, regardless of the circumstances and what's going on around you, there's the strategy is always to use that movement to bring thoughts. Listen to me very carefully. Sifting is intended, all the movement is intended to bring you thoughts. I don't know if I've ever fully describe the challenges between phase one and phase two. I just talk to you and I just generally mostly say all hell broke loose. But the biggest thing, and all the stuff going on around us in every arena of our life, the biggest thing was not that. It was the bombardment of thoughts against my mind. Impulses, suggestions, feelings, emotions, all sorts of imaginations and thoughts and stuff. Tell your neighbor stuff. And it was all designed to get me unstable or to allow this instability around me to get on the inside of me. Because Satan's not just trying to move things around in your life, he's trying to move you. Psalm 112. You ever read Psalm 112? I don't remember the verses. I've got them written down here somewhere. Here they are. Psalm 112, 6 through 8. It talks about my heart is fixed. My heart is established. You know what that is? He said, I will not be moved then there later. And he said, and neither will I be afraid. So he's talking about bringing fear, bringing worry, bringing suggestions, bringing all sorts of things to you to try to get you to move from where God put you or what he said to you. Or what the word says to you. See, can you see what that's, see what the strategy is? And regardless of the, what's going on around you, he's trying to get the movement in you. He's trying to bring thoughts. Amen. And his intended effect is to make you move with all the movement. And you've got to decide, what did God say? Amen. Whatever's moving around you, you need to be anchored. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, that the word of God is an anchor to our soul. You need to anchor to something that's not moving, that's not swirling. You understand? And you need to anchor your thoughts and fix your thought life on something that's unmovable. Amen. What is that? What did God say? What did God say? The movement is not God talking. Amen. He doesn't talk through circumstances. He doesn't talk on the outside. He doesn't lead externally. He leads internally. Believers have got to get this. I have told many, many people over the years that have gone through tremendous challenges, whether it be in relationships, people that left their loved ones who left their life, or just tremendous opposition against them in many ways. I've said to them, don't make any major decisions right now. This is not a time to be making major decisions, because people, when the things just start moving, they start moving. And that movement is not designed, in other words, the movement's designed to move you. And you got to get onto his strategy. It works too often. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching somebody, it may be you. Hallelujah. The movement is not God talking. And your movement with all the movement around here shows you're not anchored on what God said. You got to use your faith on what God said and use your faith about your place. Whether it just simply be your place in Christ or your place in the body or wherever that means whenever I talk about your place. Praise God. Praise God. I'm thinking of a relative in my family, a relative who had a tremendous, and it was challenging stuff, but tremendous opposition come against their marriage, in such a way that for a period of time there was separation, you know. But both of them got reconciled and got back together again. And whenever they did, with tears in their eyes until their dying day, with tears in their eyes, they looked at the family and said, I'm so thankful that we didn't just move with all of that emotional upheaval and all the feelings of that. I'm so thankful because we have a better marriage than we have ever had before. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because they didn't move with all the movement.
Yes.
It didn't move them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we're told to, in Jude 1:3, we're told to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Why? Because something's contending to get it away from you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, use your faith to stay in your place. Now, when I say your place, you realize that could be a different thing, a couple different things. I'm talking about your place in Christ, your rightful place in Christ. See, in Christ, you have the victory. In Christ, you're raised far above. In Christ, you are free already. In Christ, you're delivered. In Christ, you're healed. In Christ, you're free. In Christ, you're blessed. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? In Christ, you're delivered from the curse of the law. And we could go on and on and on. Use your faith to take that place. God allows the aggressive taking of the place that belongs to you. In fact, if I have gotten to know him at all, I found this out. He loves it. He loves it when people fight for their place. Isn't that right? You can't expect to ride, because if you look at, let me back up before I say that. If you look back at Luke 22, where we just read, you know, he said there, remember verse 31, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. But he said, Jesus is talking, I have prayed for you. That your faith fail not. Yes. And when you converted, strengthen your brethren. Yes. So Jesus' prayer life brought a supply to Peter in order to help him. He made how many of you know the prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available? So Jesus' prayer life brought power and made it available to Peter to enable him to stand and stay in his place.
Yes.
Right? And his prayer life brought that supply. And how many of you know we need to be doing that for one another?
Amen.
We need to be doing that for one another.
Yes.
Praise God. Because pray ye one for another, the Bible talks about, right? And so that's a part of our prayer life, is praying one for another and so forth and so on. But the thing about that I wanted to say about this, you and I can't expect to ride the supply of other people's prayer life forever.
Right.
That will work more in the babyhood stage of a believer's life than it will as they begin to grow spiritually. Right? And so the time comes when we have to learn to fight to stay in our place ourselves. Why? Because there are forces contending to move us from our place. Amen. And here's how those forces work. Bringing thoughts. Bringing imaginations, bringing feelings, bringing a different identity, just harassing us with an identity that is not reality in Christ.
Yes.
Am I making any sense this morning? And so, when I say this, I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about what the Lord said to me. There was some things coming against me at a point that was trying to get me to move from my place. And whenever I finally got on top of it and I said, no, how many of you know you got to put your foot down sometime. And I said it like I meant it rather than just kind of talk it and still let the thing harass my mind. When I finally put my foot down and said no and the thing left, the Lord said this to me. And I'm you know, you can take it for yourself because it might be you too. He said, falling for these suggestions and these childish imaginations and these impulses is childish. It's entry level stuff. He said, your past entry level stuff. He said, those are low level devils and low strategies of the enemy, and that doesn't work against you anymore. Childish. I said to the Lord, I said, childish. Well, then there's a lot of childish people in the body of Christ. I said, explain that. You're calling this entry-level stuff. He said, well, let me ask you a question. Whenever you lead somebody to the Lord or you hear somebody lead somebody to the Lord, what is probably the first thing they probably say to them? How many of you know when you first get saved, then sometimes you just got to start with the basics. And the Lord said, what are some of the first things that people say to them? They say, read your Bible and go to church. What is that saying? Feed your spirit, and it's also staying connected with others in the body of Christ. Why do you say that at the beginning? Because that's entry level stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Do y'all get it?
Yes.
And so these things shouldn't be working anymore. Now maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but just hold your head up and just say amen anyhow. Amen. Aren't you glad God had a place in mind for you? Absolutely. Well, we need to fight for that. If he said he sets us in the body as it pleased him, then it would please him if we would stay there. Right? Well, I don't get what I used to get out of the preaching, and I don't know, just the church doesn't seem the same as it used to be. That's probably you that changed. You've become familiar. And they threw rotten tomatoes, and you got to be bold and occupy your place. Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, you're the righteousness of God, and the righteousness means you have a right to occupy your place. Praise God. Amen. And God doesn't change his mind every third Sunday. Or every year either. I've been connected in three places in my life. Three places in my life. Amen. One was the denominational church I grew up in. And they couldn't take me any further, so God moved me out. Second was Kenneth Hagin Ministries. But Brother Hagin went on to heaven.
Yes, sir.
And just right before that, I didn't even realize Brother Hagin was getting ready to go to heaven. I mean, I knew he was going to eventually, but I didn't realize it was going to be right then. The Lord said, your supply has changed to the Dufresne Ministries. You know, and I have friends that still don't talk to me because of that. Well, I see them. I love them. I come back to Raymond whenever I can. But that's not my main feeding place. I could, and I honor that place, right? And we just went back and honored Pastor Hagin recently.
Yes.
Took him a love offering and said hello to him and hug his neck.
Yeah.
Amen, Miss Aree. I mean, Miss Lynette.
Yeah.
And so we honor them. We're not opposed to anybody, but we're simply saying, well, where did God say our connection is?
Yes, sir. That's right.
What did God say our connection is? And so whenever we move with God, we keep on increasing spiritually in revelation, in favor in the body of Christ. Our voice keeps growing and things keep progressing.
Yes.
And it's been a good place. It's been a good place. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. So you got to fight for your place. Now, go over to, you were looking with me in 1 Corinthians 12:18. He set us in the body as it pleased him. But notice in the verses we referred to in Hebrews 12, in 22 through 24, where it talks about you are come unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and Mount Zion, and so forth. And then he said to a general assembly and church of the firstborn. Notice, part of what he brought us to was the general assembly and church of the firstborn is another way of saying the body of Christ.
Yeah.
There's more to it than that. It actually means the victorious ones who celebrate victory.
Yeah.
That's literally what the general assembly means. If you look it up in the Greek, I was amazed. In other words, he's not taking you to a defeated church. He brought you to a victorious church.
Amen.
You need to go somewhere where it helps you win victories.
Amen.
So, but he's not just brought us to our place in Christ. We obviously understand that. But that place in Christ, notice, is a place with others around us. Do you see that? This General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, that's what we've been brought to. So we've been brought to others around us who can help us and bring a supply to our lives. So hold on here. We're getting to the good part. You know, we've just been licking the outside. We're about to chomp into the Tootsie Roll on the inside, all right? So he said, I brought you not just to myself, which he goes on, talks about he brought us to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and so forth and so on, but and to the blood. But he brought us to a company of the body of Christ, right? Are you still with me? So many people live isolated. And they're not content to go further into not just their place, but the household they have been brought to has other places that others around them occupy. Listen to me very carefully. Go over to Galatians. Galatians says something very interesting in the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Galatians 6:10. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
Galatians 6:10. Notice how that starts out. Somebody in the King James, somebody that's reading the King James, start that out for me.
As we have therefore opportunity.
Yeah. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. Look at this. Especially those who are of the household of faith.
Yes.
Amen. Nothing wrong with giving to medical science, social programs and so forth like that. But the church ought to be first.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
He said, especially.
Yes.
Especially. That needs to be first.
Yes.
The work of God. There are plenty of billionaires giving to help developed nations, have medicines and vaccinations and science and all that kind of thing. The church is what gets people free.
Yes.
You and I need to be focusing on the church.
Yes.
That includes the gospel, whether it's the local church or, you know, ministries preaching the gospel. You know what I'm talking about. So, but anyway, especially of those of the household of faith. Notice he describes the body of Christ as a household. Say it out loud. We are a household.
We are a household.
Now, you know, a house has rooms in it, right? Rooms. And you occupy, your place is a place where you occupy a room. There's a place for you in the house. Right? You have your own place. You have your own room. And that room, God had you in mind whenever he prepared a place. I've thought often, you know, when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. We know he went to heaven and we know he's preparing mansions and we're going to be living in heaven and living in mansions, right? You want to see luxury, come to my house when we get to heaven. But whenever he said, I go to prepare a place for you, I've always thought there must be more to it than that. Because whenever he went to heaven, he put his blood on the heavenly holy, on the altar in heaven, and made the way for us to go into the very presence of God. Our place is not just a mansion in heaven. Our place is the place we have now in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. And that place is not just a one room apartment. That your place is a part of a larger house.
Yes. Yes. So good.
Can I share this a little bit before we go? Your place is the place of a larger house. In other words, your room is connected to a house with other rooms.
Yes.
Are you getting what I'm saying here? The spirit realm is, as this is described, it's as a household. And there are more than one room in a household. Amen. And you have a place in God, but the place that you have is part of a larger household.
Yes.
Listen to me very carefully. And no one that belongs to the household, let's say you have, you know, you and your spouse, and then you've got kids. No one who's a part of that household is restrained to one room. If they are, call me. I have the number of the police right here. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
That's supposed to be funny. You can laugh at that. You heard those stories where somebody tied somebody up in one room?
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing more devilish.
Yeah, seriously.
But the household that we're a part of, if you're a part of a household, like if you're a child in a home, you have access to your room. Your bedroom is probably basically your room, right? But then you've got access to everything else in the house.
Yeah.
You got access to the kitchen, the refrigerator, the living room, the den downstairs, the ping pong table. That's your house. You belong there. Am I making any sense? So don't spend your whole life confined to just one room. There's a whole house for you to partake of. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Don't be just satisfied with what belongs to you. Be interested in what is in other rooms. You're connected to people who have their own room. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This is called a household of faith. Jesus is the door. You came through Jesus and you came into this household, but he didn't just bring you through the door so you could just stand in the entryway. He's going to take you and host you and guide you through the house and say, this is all yours, but then here's your room.
Yes.
But you don't have to just stay in your room. There's rooms of others that you're connected to.
Yes.
Woo, glory be to God. When I say a room, because this term is a biblical term. Rooms is started in the Old Testament. Remember God said to Elijah, I want you to anoint Elisha to be prophet in your room. You remember? And you see that term throughout the Old Testament. And then we come into the New Testament and it'll talk about rooms, but it also talks about places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take this verse. He's seated up with Jesus in heavenly
places.
You could say rooms.
Yeah.
In Christ.
Yeah.
We all have a place in Christ. We all have a room. And what is our room? Let's take for example my room. My room is all that I have in God and all that I function in God.
Yeah.
Your room is all you have in God and all you function in God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not just talking about the anointings on our life, although that's part of it. But I'm talking about the revelation we all have.
Yes.
I'm talking about the faith that we all have.
Yes.
Right? I'm talking about just the fellowship with God and the how much we know God.
Amen.
Do you remember whenever God created Adam and Eve? He said to Adam, before he created Eve, actually, he said to Adam, he said, it must have been God talking to the other members of the Godhead. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to create a help meet or suitable for him. Remember, right? So here's Adam, a man who is perfect. He's not fallen yet into sin. He has the manifest glory of God clothing him like a garment. That's why whenever they sinned, they knew they were naked. They hadn't known they were naked before. Why? Because they were clothed with the glory of God. They walked around in a glory cloud. In other words, you'd go like this. Good morning, Adam. Because he was glowing.
Right.
Yes. And so they were clothed with the glory. This is before he fell. He's clothed with the glory. He has perfect fellowship with God. No separation from God. He and God are fellowshipping in the cool of the evening. Yes. And they have perfect union.
Yes.
And God said, it's not good that man should be alone.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. He has access to everything God has. Yeah. And God still says, that's not enough.
Yeah.
He needs somebody to help him that is suitable for him, and he created the wife, right? Now, here's the thing. I want you to see this. Although he had everything, he had access to everything in God and fellowship with God and everything God could do for him. He had access to all that. God still said, it's not good that he be alone. In other words, he had fellowship with God, but he wanted Adam to have fellowship with others who had fellowship with God. God's plan was never that we be isolated. I don't know why I'm on this morning, but I'm just on it. It was never that we be alone in fellowship with God. Some people, all they want is just their fellowship with God. No, that's the only part of God's plan for your life. Extra, read all about it. There's more for you than just the Holy Spirit in you that you commune with God about things in your own spirit. The Holy Spirit upon you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit on others. Around you that you're divinely connected to, who fellowship with God just like you fellowship with God, and who have places in God, and they see parts of God and sides of God, and they have revelation of God that can bless your life. Because God's too big for you to take him all in yourself all at once. And so he wants you to have fellowship with him, which you do, but he wants you to have fellowship with others who have fellowship with him. In other words, in your room, fellowshipping with God is wonderful, but walk over to the next room to a brother or a sister in Christ who also has fellowship with God, and you start communing with brother, sister, and others in the body of Christ, and they talk about the one they know, and you go, oh, I never saw that side of him, and you see him better than you saw him yourself. Glory be to God. If you're not interested in that, you're not hungry. I found that one of the main reasons people don't hook up with the body of Christ is because they're just not hungry. They're just not hungry. Hungry people want to get around people who know the one they're hungry to know. Praise be to God. Can I shout a little bit with you? Hallelujah. So don't be satisfied with what just belongs to you. Be interested in what belongs to those who are in the household with you. Praise God. God brought you into the household of faith. Jesus is the door. But don't just come into the door and stand in the entryway. So let him show you the whole house. Let him show you where your room is, but let him show you the company that he's joined you to. Hallelujah. And that the Holy Spirit will guide you into the household. He'll show you where you belong. Amen. People who isolate themselves are deficient spiritually. Listen to me. Let me say it again. People who isolate themselves, they're deficient spiritually. God never intended for them to walk through this life isolated from others. That's not the way the body of Christ is. He didn't call us. He called us by the name sheep. Sheep are flock animals. I mean, you just don't see one sheep flying out on the pasture, out on the pasture by themselves. If one of them goes over here, they all wander over there. Hallelujah. So we just have to understand God's plan and flow with God's plan. Amen. Now, when you're brought into this house, all that's in the house is yours. Isn't that good? Some of your teenagers are recognizing the refrigerator is theirs. And the grocery bill keeps going up, right? Because they're snacking all day long and still hungry. So they recognize that everything here is theirs. Right? And so they take advantage of that. And that's what I'm talking to you about. Have a bold spirit of faith to take your place. Praise God. Now, the whole house, like I said, belongs to you. But just because it belongs to you doesn't mean you're being a partaker of everything that belongs to you. I've learned over the years as a pastor, I've learned different people get different amounts of what's inside of me. Same with everybody in the body of Christ. Some people, for you, for example, there might be people that you have fed real, real good Christian fellowship with, and you talk about the things of God together with, and you, before you know it, you're like, oh my goodness, it's 11:30, I got to go home. And you've just had real good fellowship with, and they get things out of you that are just really precious to you. But you get around others, maybe just natural relatives, maybe people at work or something like that, and they get hardly anything out of you in that area. Right? Because they're not interested in that part of you, nor do they know you in that way. Amen. To them, you're just a coworker or something like that. And they don't see the treasure on the inside of you. And so they're not a, although you have that in God, yet they're not partaking of it. Does that make any sense? And so we need to learn to be partakers. Amen. And when we talk about the household of God, people who really who invite you to their house and make you really feel at home, if you feel at home enough, you might start opening closets, right? And the refrigerator. Brother Hagin had some people like that. I don't know if you've ever heard of Doc and Jerry Horton. Who were close to Brother Hagin. And Brother Hagin got so close to them that he would just go over to their house, knock on their door, and if they didn't answer, he'd just go in and he'd just get himself a snack, sit down, watch television. If they came home, he'd say hi to them. If not, he'd just leave. Somebody say, you shouldn't do that. Who said?
Yeah.
Who said? Amen. Now, I didn't say do that to your neighbor. But whenever you get that kind of fellowship and you're that close to somebody, then you realize that I'm not just a possessor of this fellowship, but I enter into partaking of everything that's in this fellowship. I mean, you need to start opening closet doors of what's in this ministry for you. You know what I'm talking about? Opening drawers. What's in here? Ah, here's some. Okay, I've been cutting the pizza with a knife. Here's one of those rollers. You know. Just make yourself at home rather than acting like a stranger in your place. Tell your neighbor, make yourself at home. So let get the mentality of being a partaker. Don't sit around and wait to be invited into something whenever you were already put there in Christ. If you were put there in Christ, you just belly up. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. I can tell stories. I guess I will tell one. Can I tell one? Because when Pastor Ike stays here, a lot of times he'll stay at the Armstrong's home. And so whenever he's over there, I go over there a lot, just fellowship. And so I remember getting off work here one time, and they had, listened to this, such disloyalty here. They planned to have Brother Josh's ribs together, Pastor Ike and them, without me. What? Where does that come from? The devil, that's where that comes from. Well, I didn't know anything about it. And I called him on the phone. I left the work and I got this prompting. Hey, what y'all doing? Well, Well, Pastor, you know how they start saying, Pastor, you know, oh, now here comes a confession right here now. We were just sitting down, we were going to eat, and they didn't want to say ribs. With Pastor Ike, and I said, what you eating? Oh, they got caught. We're eating Josh. You know who Josh? Yeah, Josh's ribs. Where's Brother Josh? He's on camera. There's Brother Josh. Yeah.
So good.
We're eating Brother Josh's ribs. I said, you're having ribs? I said, I'll be right over. I didn't even wait. I didn't wait for the invitation. I didn't ask them if they had enough. I said, I'll be right over, and I'm coming right through the front door. Yeah. Have my plate ready. I'll be eating with you.
Yes.
You need to be that way with what belongs to you in your house. You have a room, but you got a whole house. One of my favorite stories over the years is years ago, I think maybe 5 years ago or so, Pastor Debbie got it. We were having the Christmas banquet one year, and you know, you buy a ticket and everything. Pastor Debbie got it in her heart that Lisa Egan wasn't going to come, and she wanted to pay for Lisa's ticket. And so she had the staff call Lisa and say, hey, you all coming? No, we weren't coming, And so Pastor Debbie told the staff, tell her, listen, just come. We got the ticket covered. No, she didn't say we weren't coming. She said, whenever the staff called her and said, are you coming? She said, well, we don't have a ticket. And so they said, well, Pastor Debbie had it on her heart to call you and get you a ticket. And Lisa said, well, we were going to come anyway. That is acting like you belong. They knew they couldn't show up and Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie blockade at the door and say, no, you can't come. You gotta stop asking permission to go into every room that belongs to you. And have a spirit of faith. Amen. Are y'all getting this? I love that people that are just bold. That's really what we're talking about. Boldly entering into your place. Boldly taking what belongs to you. And not acting like, you need an invitation to everything. Hallelujah. Do you remember in 1 Kings, and we'll wrap this up. 2 Kings chapter number 4. It talks about Elisha. How that he kept going by a certain place and a widow, not a widow woman, but a... she was a married lady, actually. She, the rich woman of Shunem, it calls her, that she recognized that he was a man of God. And she said, come in and eat a meal. So her and her husband and Elisha ate meals together. And so she told her husband, I perceive this is a man of God that keeps coming by. Let's build an addition on our house. And so they did, and they played they put a bed there and put up, everything that he would need. And so whenever he went by, he would stay there. And you remember that the Spirit of God moved about having a son, and then the son got sick, and how many remember he died? And the woman took the son and went and put him up on the bed of Elisha's room.
Right.
And then she went and got Elisha. And Elisha finally realized, because she didn't really want to say that he had died. She said, all is well. She wasn't going to speak unbelief. Just you need to come. So then, so he came. But notice, then Elisha went into the room and raised the child from the dead. That's not just a type of, that's just not a physical room there. It's referring to that office. It's referring to the anointing on his life and the ministry that God had put on his life. And in that room, listen, remember what the Spirit of God said through David Ellis at camp meeting here last year? You don't have to be a prophet to enter into and take advantage of what's in a prophet's room. He's talking about when you're connected in the Spirit to others in the body of Christ, you have access to what's in their room just like you have access to what's in your room. And so she went into, notice this woman didn't feel like she could not go into that room or take that dead son into that room. This is connected to my house. This is connected. This is a divine connection. I have access to what functions in this man's life. And she took that boy and put him and took him into that room. She didn't act like, well, I'm off limits here. No, she said, this is my house. This is connected to my house, and I'm taking advantage of what's mine. And because she was bold and had a spirit of faith and didn't just draw back from that, she got her son raised from the dead. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so what he functioned in that room, his fellowship with God in that room, the office that he stood in that room, it was all available to her. Hallelujah. Now, maybe not that ministry. She couldn't function in the, she couldn't, you know, she couldn't have his call to the prophet's office, but she could take advantage of all that was in that because of her divine connection to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? So God, your father built this house and he made you a part of it. Now take advantage of everything that's in this house, not just in your room. So some people are waiting on God to bring them into things, but it's a complete misunderstanding of how you receive. You don't have to wait for an invitation to go further into things that belong to you by those connected around you. Amen? You need to be a partaker of every flow that you're connected with in the body. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Respond. Don't stop responding whenever you got saved. Keep on responding to all that he invites you to come into, come into, come into. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because God has more for you than just what's on your life. An example is in the Old Testament, King Saul. God's plan for his life was to be king. But he was a very insufficient man in himself. Yeah. Like all of us, right? But God said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to connect you to a company of prophets. And that company of prophets, what's on them is going to get on him. And whenever he gets in that company, he's going to be turned into another man. Yeah. Praise God. I'm preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for my divine connections in the body. Because just getting around them, there's things, and you can't mentally understand why it happens. But just getting around them, things start stirring. God starts talking, and you start seeing things you hadn't seen, and you start having understanding of your place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And you get through those divine connections and the supply of others. You get impartations to run your race and to level you up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Where you have insufficiencies. I mean, we all do. That's not to put anybody down. But we all don't have the ability. And what God calls us to do a lot of times is something that we don't have the ability to do. God called Moses to be a great orator and talk to the king, let my people go. But he called a man who stuttered. How compelling is that? Let my people go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on.
Right.
He called a very insufficient man.
Yeah.
And that's the way all of us are. We are in ourselves, many of us, insufficient. But he'll get us around a company of people that levels us up. And what's on them splashes off onto us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm thinking of something that was, and I'm wrapping this up, 2 Kings 3:15. It talks about three kings coming to the prophet, and they needed some direction. Now, today you don't go to a prophet for direction, but this is Old Covenant, right? The prophet had revelation gifts. And so they were needing some direction about a particular battle and some armies that were coming against them. And the prophet said, well, if it wasn't for this one king, I wouldn't even talk to the other two of you because you're backslidden. But he said, because the atmosphere's heavy, because of who's here, bring me a minstrel. And this man came who played, but he didn't just play the instrument. He played it under the anointing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And what came out of that other man brought something up out of the prophet into operation that was dormant in Elisha's spirit and in his mantle until the supply of that other man came. You listening to that? The potential was there, but it was drawn out by another man's flow. Hallelujah. And so what you and I need to know is there are the divine connections will draw things out of us that are lying there just not functioning. Yes. The potential for them to function is there. Yes. Brother Hagin was a different man when certain people were in the crowd. Yeah. Yeah. Whenever Jeannie Wilkerson Phil Halverson was there, or Jerry Horton was Doc Horton's wife, or some of those people were there. He was a different man. He'd get over into the prophet's office much quicker. Because what? They're drawing that out. Why didn't he function in that flow more regularly whenever they weren't there? Well, because they didn't know how to draw it out.
Come on.
Amen. I'm talking about things I don't talk about very often. But it's all true. You need to get around the people that draw out what's on the inside of you. Believe that there's something in you. You know, Miss Ann in the prayer on Monday mornings, she's endeavoring to do that. Draw out. There's a flow of prayer coming up out of you. There's utterance. There's supplication. There's intercession. And she endeavors to get over there by that person and pull that out of them.
Amen.
They might not even recognize it's there, but it's there.
Yeah. Amen.
Glory to God. You need somebody to get around you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see that day approaching. And then it goes on to say, we should provoke one another to love and good works. You need to be around somebody who provokes you.
Amen.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And believes there's something more in there than what you see in yourself. I've told people back in the healing school days, I told one man back in the healing school days at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I said, you seeing, because they saw things in me that I didn't see in myself. And they kept putting me up there, recognizing a gifting on the inside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Really? And they said, yeah, we see it. Come on. And so they just pulled me in. And I said to them later, I said, you could have given me $50 million and not done for me what you did by pulling what's on the inside of me out of me. But that wouldn't have happened if I wasn't in the house that I belonged in.
Yes.
Where those around me could pull that out of me.
Yes.
Did you get anything out of the word this morning?
Yes.
Jump in with both feet.
Yes.
Make a big splash whenever you enter.
Yes.
And say, I'm here to partake of everything that's in the house.
Yes.
Oh, Miss Ann's having ribs? Well, let's just go. Stand with me to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can I just say this? The flow of fear, the flow of, well, really it's fear, has dominated too many people. They need to believe they belong. I've seen people who went from the church out into the world, out into sin, what comes is attacks against their mind. Well, if I go back to church, you know, they're going to all, you know, because they were here at church, you know. If I go back to the church, they're going to all, you know, look down at me and so forth. That's a big lie. I said, that's a big lie. We're going to open our arms and give you a big hug and say, welcome home. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome home. Here's the pantry. Here's this. The prodigal son. I mean, what he did was wrong, right?
Yeah.
That's a good chance to say right.
Yeah.
What he did was wrong. However, he had one thing going for him. Whenever he came back and his dad welcomed him and his dad wouldn't let him just become a hired servant, he said, no, you're my son, and restored him back into fellowship. You remember that? And his dad said, you know, kill the fatted calf, put a robe on him and a ring on him and so forth and all of that. One thing that young boy had going for him is he knew how to receive. Man, do I love people that know how to receive. God loves that. He loves that. Well, then sitting back and waiting.
Yeah.
You know, there's etiquette about things, you understand. But some people are just so bashful and so timid and so... They just do without. Amen. That young boy, that prodigal son, he's not prodigal anymore, but we call him the prodigal son. He knew how to receive. His daddy said, kill the fatted calf and put a robe on him and a ring. He said, thank you, daddy. And he walked into the party.
He knew.
Can I say this? That sounds like Pastor Nancy, doesn't it? Can I say this? I guess I got it from her. When we first got connected up with the Dufresne Ministries, nobody there knew us. Well, we knew a couple of the ministers, but not anybody in leadership, or certainly the Dufresnes didn't know who we were. And so we just knew this is where God sent us. We knew this is where we're connected. And we knew we belonged in the company. Right?
Yes, sir.
And so we decided that we were going to have the fellowship that belonged to us. And they would have a service, and all the ministers would go in the back room. And so we would just stand, like if that was the door that went into the back room where all the ministers were fellowshipping. They didn't know we were ministers. They didn't know who we were. Well, we would just kind of mill around on that side, just talking to people, waiting for somebody to come through that door and say, you're Pastor Jay and Debbie Eberly, aren't you in the ministry? Yeah. Come on back here.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what happened? We were over there, one of the services over there fellowshipping, and Dr. Dufresne came through the doors. You know how he comes through doors. And he said, you two, come back here.
Yes.
And we didn't say, really? We said, oh, sure, we'll be right back. It's good to talk to you. Praise the Lord. We're taking what belongs to us. Some folks don't know how to do that. And they don't get what they should be getting. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
You got to have a spirit of faith about occupying your place.
Yes, sir.
You got to have a spirit of faith. Say it out loud. I have a spirit of faith about occupying my place. Hallelujah. If something belongs to you, take it. Take it. Don't be sheepish and hold back and act like you need an invitation. I like what Pastor Ike says, and then from then on it's just me say. I just say. But he said, you don't act like you need permission to walk on the ground in front of you. Does that make any sense? You got to just act like something's yours. Act like something's yours. Well, glory. Praise the Lord. Stirring it up. Stirring it up. Let's take some ground this year. Amen. Remember Pastor Nancy said about 2026, taking more ground.
Yes.
Taking more ground. I mean, let's just stop going around and around in circles. Let's take some ground.
Yes.
Take some ground. It takes a spirit of faith to take some ground. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, give God a shout. The word is good. Praise God.